Welcome back to another episode of About Music, The Art of Listening. I'm Brian. In the program today, the first 16 minutes are a repeat of the first 16 minutes of last week's program. This is because the concept of fugue takes more than one listening to really get to grips with it. Therefore, I've been asked to repeat the lesson section of the broadcast. Some Baroque composers who wrote fugues include Bach, Buxtehude, Handel, Vivaldi, Pachelbel, Telemann, Corelli, Purcell, Froberger, and Gimignani. There are other Baroque composers who were less associated with the fugue or who did not write any. Monteverdi, Lully, Scarlatti, both father and son, Rameau, Schütz, Charpentier, Gabrielli, and Stradella. While fugue writing was an important skill for many Baroque composers, the emphasis varied depending on their focus and the traditions of their countries and genres. German composers, especially those associated with Lutheran church music, were more likely to write fugues, while Italian and French composers often focused on other forms. The name most associated with the fugue is Johann Sebastian Bach, and it is one of his that we will examine in detail today. To start, let me define a few words. Counterpoint is the technique associated with fugues, and essentially it refers to the simultaneous use of different melodic statements or ideas. We describe these separate statements as voices, whether they are played on an instrument or if they are being sung. The four voices usually identified are from the highest to the lowest, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. Fugues can contain as many separate but simultaneous voices and statements as the composer wants, but three or four are the most common. The main feature of the fugue is the mixing of the statements between the voices, and the main enjoyment for the listener is identifying these melodies and enjoying their appearances and combinations. At the same time as being separate melodies, the simultaneous use also produces harmonies, and these drive the music forward according to standard tonal harmonic conventions. The word fugue or fuga in Italian means to flee, and it depicts the various voices taking turns to present the statements used. There's a mountain of theoretical information in textbooks and on the internet about the fugue, and this technical information is of little interest to you as the listener. What you need to know is that the fugue starts with an exposition in which the statements are exposed or revealed, then a middle section where the composer presents these in various combinations and keys, and a conclusion. I'm going to jump directly into Bach's Fugue No. 21 in B-flat major from his first book of the 48 Preludes and Fugues. The process that I'm now going to describe is the standard process, so you could use this when listening to any fugue. This particular fugue has three voices, soprano, alto, and bass. Bach opens with the subject statement, all on its own, in the home key, in this case in B-flat major. The soprano voice takes the lead, but any voice could have been the leader. When the soprano has been heard, the next voice, in this case the alto, takes over the statement as an answer, but four notes lower. You might remember from earlier episodes that this is called modulating to the dominant, which is F major. Sometimes this is an identical transposition, sometimes small adaptations are made according to the key structure. Then the third voice, which is the bass, takes the statement back in the home key. Most fugues start with four statements, a subject in the home key, an answer in the dominant key, a repeat of the subject in the home key, and repeat of the answer in the dominant key. As we only have three voices in this fugue, the soprano takes a second opportunity and presents the second answer in the dominant key. Here in a row are the four statements in the order soprano, alto, bass, and the soprano again. Okay, this is all very well, but remember that when the alto took over earlier on, the soprano had to find something else to keep busy with, a counter subject. Here it is, followed by the combination of the two voices. Likewise, when the bass took over, the alto had to find something new, so it presents the counter subject that the soprano just used. Here this is, followed by the combination of these two. This now forces the soprano to find yet another counter subject. So now we have three separate melodies all together. Here are the three voices from the beginning up to this point. When the soprano takes its second opportunity to present an answer, the composer lets the bass have the first counter subject and the alto have the second counter subject. We call this triple counterpoint. If the fugue had four voices, the composer then would have had the choice to present yet another counter subject, the third one, and create four-part counterpoint, or he could simply allow one voice to drop out for a short period of time. When subject, answer have all been heard, from the single voice to the triple counterpoint, we have completed the exposition and all the statements are exposed for the listener. With many composers, that's the end of the matter, and they move on to other material. But with Bach and the others I mentioned earlier, we are going further with the middle and the concluding sections. The middle section consists of statements of the theme and the two counter subjects, alternating between the voices and connected by short episodes in which the composer modulates to different keys for added interest. Here is the first episode, which you will notice uses an idea in the bass which was derived from the subject, by turning the subject upside down. In other words, the notes that went upwards now go downwards and vice versa. So this becomes this. A second voice, the soprano, also uses an idea which is derived from the subject to accompany the first voice, and the remaining voice, the alto, is silent. So here we have two themes. This is double counterpoint. Thank you. This episode leads us to the key of G minor, in which the subject is found in the alto, and then the answer in the bass in C minor. The other voices take the counter subjects, like this. Then there follows another episode using the same ideas as the previous episode, but switching the voices around. That episode leads us to an alto C minor answer, and immediately thereafter to the closing section, which has both a soprano subject and an alto answer, with the counter subjects in the other voices. Finally, Bach adds four measures to give us a strong ending in the home key, B flat major. I will play the whole fugue for you now instead of bits and pieces, and I will make it easier for you by making the appearances of the subject and answers a little louder than the accompaniments. As you listen, please reflect on how with just three pieces of material, namely a subject and two counter-subjects, Bach has created an entire unified composition that is completely satisfactory, even if you don't follow the structure. Often a fugue is preceded by an introductory piece, so this time I will include the introductory piece, which is called a prelude. So, prelude and fugue number 21 of Book 1 by Johann Sebastian Bach. Thank you. hope that this lesson is something you will go through again. You will find it in the podcast section as Program 63, and that in future listening you will be able to easily identify a fugue and enjoy it. It's very easy to identify a fugue. Just follow these steps. Listen for an unaccompanied solo melody, then a repeat of that melody with a second melody added. You can be almost positive that the third will follow, and you've just discovered a fugue. Our next fugue is by Handel, called "And With His Stripes We Are Healed." I've chosen this one because the words sung by the choir are, of course, the statements of the subject. So listen for the order of the voices as they come in: soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. After that, you will hear many entries of the subject. Also take note that the fugue is accompanied by the orchestra, but they are not participants, only accompanists. This fugue is followed by another song, "For Unto Us a Child Is Born." This is technically not a fugue, but it demonstrates very well indeed how contrapuntal writing works. Also happens to be one of my favorite pieces.
It is mine, 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 it is m
Another fugue by Bach, this time for organ. The fugue in G minor is a very clear example in four voices, and you should have no difficulty following it. Just a thought I want to mention, the theme is quite long, and therefore so are all the subsequent entries. The order of the voices is soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. Try to remember the subject so that you can identify the later appearances.
Thank you.
next fugue is performed by a chamber orchestra and consists of 6 voices. Yes, you heard me correctly, 6 voices. Consequently, it is very powerful at the climax, and it's quite complicated to hear the individual entries. The voices enter in this order: alto, second soprano, second tenor, first soprano, then bass. have two more vocal fugues by Handel from Messiah. First, he trusted in God. These voices enter in the order bass, tenor, alto, soprano, the opposite order to what we normally expect. Listen for the subject which uses the words, "He trusted in God that he would deliver him." Then the words, "Let him deliver him," and "If he delight in him," are used as the counter subjects, contrapuntally in invertible counterpoint. In other words, swapping from voice to voice in different combinations. He trusted in God that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, if he delight in him. He trusted in God that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, if he delight in him. He trusted in God that he would deliver him, let him deliver him, if he delight in him. He trusted in God that he fugue is "His yoke is easy." This time the voices enter soprano, tenor, alto, bass. The words "His yoke is easy, his burden is light" is the subject. The first voice to enter sings an extended version of the subject, and then the other voices enter in quick succession without delay. After that, the words "His burden is light" is used as a counterpoint to the subject, and it's also playfully switched between the voices.
Thank you.
My next fugue is for the Baroque lute, also by Bach. Listen for the four repeated notes that open the piece. These will give you the position of the entries. This fugue does not follow the pattern rigidly, but you will nevertheless easily identify the entries of the subject by listening for these four repeated notes. Thank you. I have a fugue for two violins next. This is a two-voice fugue with double counterpoint composed by Telemann. Take note that although we've only got two voices and two instruments, there are multiple entries of the subject.
Thank you.
To conclude today, we will have two of the fugues from the Well-Tempered Clavier by Bach. These are each preceded by their preludes. I trust that you will enjoy these. I will be back again next week with more music of the Baroque. Please join me next week for Suites of Dances from Baroque composers.